It's the month everything happens. It's the month nothing happens. We're a full week into August. So what can we expect? Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast here at RFARL. Joining me here in the studio to discuss the things we expect to make news in Russia in the coming week is Pavel Buturin, senior producer for RFARL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome back from vacation, Pavel. Thanks for being with us. It's good to have you. So let's start on a light note. I mean, what is it about August? I mean, because you can go back in history, the invasion of Czechoslovakia, the hardline coup against Gorbachev, the invasion of Georgia, the financial crisis of 98, and the list goes on and on and on. What is it about August?
The list goes way back, you know, the beginning of World War One and all kinds of things. What is it about August? A lot of horrible things have happened. And, you know, what caught my attention this past week is an op-ed in a Russian state-run newspaper, Российская газета, by Russian Parliament Speaker Sergei Naryshkin, who said that... you know, while European citizens are enjoying their August vacations, their leaders are plotting and planning what he called provocations against Russia.
So that's what it is about August. The West is always provoking Russia in August.
Well, it's not just the West. It's America. You know, typically of Russian politicians, Naryshkin's premise is that the United States stands behind every trouble in Europe. He says the United States now continues to, quote, zombify people in Europe, seeking out new reasons for fomenting anti-Russian sentiment.
No, I read that piece himself. I Naryshkin also argued that Russia saved the reputation of the United Nations Security Council by vetoing the resolution for a tribunal on MH17.
That's exactly what he said. And in his op-ed, basically, he's warning Russian citizens of more and more provocations that are planned by the United States against Russia.
So that's what it is about August.
That's what we're expecting.
According to Mr. Naryshkin, that's what we can expect. All right. Well, I mean, on a more serious note, there is news happening this week. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is meeting with the Saudi Foreign Minister in Moscow on Tuesday. Russia's trying to do a couple of things here. It's trying to create an international coalition against Islamic State that includes Moscow's ally, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, something the Western powers are opposed to, as are the Saudis, for that matter. They're also trying to get the Saudis to collude to get the price of oil back up. Oil is down to $48 a barrel, which is getting near the catastrophic levels for the Russian economy.
Yeah, interestingly, Saudi Arabia is taking part in a U.S.-led coalition that is bombing Islamic State militants in Syria and Iraq, and Russia has not joined those operations, although Moscow has said that it supports efforts to defeat the extremist group. And it's worth noting, I think, that in June, this past June, Saudi Arabia's defense minister, Mohammed bin Salman, met Russian President Putin in an effort to improve relations between the countries. You know, that Riyadh supports rebels seeking to overthrow the Saddam regime in Syria, while Moscow has consistently supported Damascus.
Assad.
So there is a glimpse of hope that maybe the two countries maybe somehow change.
Well,
positions.
I know. I mean, the West is trying to get Russia to cooperate to get Assad to step down in a managed way, and then they think it would be much easier to deal with Islamic State with Assad out of the way. Russia's clinging to its old ally. The other interesting thing going on here is that Russian-Saudi relations are historically not good, but Moscow is really making a diplomatic effort to woo the Saudis right now. I think the other thing, of course, is the oil price. But the Saudis have been resisting Russian overtures to drive the price back.
And you will recall Lavrov's meeting with OPEC leadership Iran's possible influx of oil.
But that meeting on Tuesday in Moscow is something to be sure to keep an eye on, and as well as I'm doing every day, keep an eye on that oil price. It was down to $48 a barrel for Brent crude before I went into the studio. Couple other things going on, just to hit them quickly. I mean, the food destruction continues at the Russian border. Russian authorities are destroying the food that they have banned to come in from Europe. This at a time when I mean, and Russians in particular are very sensitive about this, about food shortages, and especially veterans of the Leningrad blockade and so on.
Exactly. There's a petition going around against that. You know, why not give it to charities?
The Communist Party is introducing legislation to say, let's give it to charities and let's give it to the needy. You really have to wonder if Putin stepped in it with this or if he just doesn't care about public opinion, because this one is of all the bizarre things I've seen this government do, this has got to be one of the most
really
bizarre.
Absurd.
It's unbelievable. Last week, something to keep an eye on for the future. It happened last week, but Putin's laid claim to the North Pole. I'm wondering if we're going to see little green men popping up in Santa Land pretty soon.
Right. Well, you know, the question is, why is Russia so interested in owning large tracts of icy water? And I think the question is, the answer to that is that melting ice opens up new transit routes, and it may reveal previously inaccessible oil and mineral deposits. You know, if the ice continues to melt, the fossil fuels will become increasingly accessible and valuable. Another thing is the possible militarization of the Arctic, something that Russia has been after.
Yeah, yes. And there are other countries other than Russia that are interested in this, Canada and the United States as well. I know Russia submitted a request to the United Nations that took a very, very liberal interpretation of the law of the sea treaty, which said gave it rights to the North Pole. But I am wondering about that. Part of me is just wondering if this is just going to be another piece of dramaturgia. You know, I mean, think of the cinematic benefits here for Putin. I mean, he could. You know, be trekking across the North Pole and would make great television. No, I mean, part of it could be just for show.
It could be. And also, who makes that decision? It's the UN, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it could possibly be vetoed by other members of the Security Council. But this is all about flexing your muscle.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something we'll be keeping an eye on in the future and in the weeks ahead. Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast. And joining me has been Pavel Butorin, senior producer for RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.